Grateful to be at the Beacon Group. It is a beacon of light in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, for sure. And I want to thank my wonderful friends who showed up to be supportive of me today. It's always a little bit intimidating when we address a group of seasoned members of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't know anything more than you do, and I don't pretend that my way is the way, but I'm here to only share with you my interpretation and how I practice that step. For the statistics, I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. I have sponsees. Some of them have sponsees. I have a home group, Back Porch International. I participate 2-3 times a week, and I have 2 service commitments there, and my sobriety date is June 22nd, 1982. So I am proof that with the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, we can be sober for at least 41 years. It's not permanent yet. The big book talks about permanent sobriety. If you are new, this is what we have to offer you should you want to never drink again. It is available. I need to got it here. Okay. And it says also, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed the path. So the odds that all of us here today stay sober permanently are extremely high. To those who have thoroughly followed the path, and thoroughly, that's my responsibility. Nobody can work my program for me. And it is in the 12 and 12 that the proper use of the will is to align my will with God's will. And I believe that as an alcoholic, God's will for me is to treat my alcoholism with the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, the program which is in the big book. All I have is a daily reprieve, so that's why this morning and today I'll be practicing my 10th step today. And maybe some of you, if you're new, wonder why I'm still doing this after all those years. Like, didn't I get it already? Well, there is no evidence in medicine or in science or with your own experiences that somehow the strange phenomenon of craving has fixed itself in my body in the last 41 years. I firmly believe that if I had a drink tomorrow, I would drink until I black out and pass out. That's how I drink. Nor is there any evidence anywhere that the mental obsession for alcohol would not return after a while. And so it is imperative for me, which will die with the risk of drinking again, that I do practice all those steps on a daily basis, including the 10th step. And I can read. I spent 30 years reading the big book. I'm a slow learner until finally, with the PPJ in Austin, it was about not only reading, but understanding the instructions. I spent 30 years reading page 84 to 88 until I finally stopped with great teachers of the big book and said, wait a minute, what are they asking me to do? And to actually do that. It is so very practical, but it's a big discipline, especially the 10th step, that pause when I'm frustrated or when I'm being reactive. In my experience, it's the most difficult discipline that we have in Alcoholics Anonymous, to pause when the engine is starting to roar already and put the brakes on it. And I am not always successful. But I have to continue to practice, just like I could hang out at the gym all day, watching people, taking those classes and lifting up weights and being on the Stairmasters. I can read all the books about the muscle system and having a healthy body. But until I pick up the dumbbells, there's not going to be any result. So I like to be in that spiritual gym all day, every day. God's will for me is to be happy, joyous, and free. And there isn't a best description of that to me than the world of the spirit, the beautiful nine-step promises to be at peace, to be serene, to have happy relationship, to be free of fear. But my mind is the problem. Early in the big book, it tells us that my mind, the problem centers in my mind. Still to this day, my problem centers in my mind. It tells me stories. There is a wonderful speaker, Bob B. He says his mind is a, now I've been already warned, no cussing, a BS machine. Half of it manufactures it and the other half buys it. It's amazing the squirrels in here that can take me places of fear and resentment and delusion. I am at risk for that to occur to me. I have to be so alert and vigilant. And for me, it starts in the morning. It's so very important to ask God to divorce my thinking from selfishness, dishonesty, self-pity, to divorce my mind, divorce my thinking still to this day, and to ask him to show me the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And all of that is already inside of me. And this is my conception of a higher power, that creative, very loving, very intelligent, generous energy, the stream of life running through my veins, through your veins. It's there always. It's not like I ask God to give me and somehow it's on the shelf somewhere and it's being delivered. And no, it's inside of me all the time for me to demonstrate what he can do until I want a shiny object. And if it happens to be on sale, pray for my husband. There may never be another. That's all it takes. And I step outside of the world of the spirit into selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. It happens this fast, a shiny object. I was snorkeling and it was gray and cloudy. And then I put my head under the surface of the water and it was all luminous, so joyful. The hot pinks, the bright yellows, the greens. I just felt like a burst of joy inside of me, just coming forth. And I raised my head up and there it was, gray, depressing, dark. And then I put my head down again, and there it was. That's how my mind works during the day. I prepare myself in the morning. I start my day. I am in the world of the spirit. And then he shouldn't have said that. And I just raise my head up. So these are the choices that I have during the day. There is nothing I can do about the dark and the clouds. But I can hang out with the fishes. This is all that I can do. And often I need to call my sponsor because I'm right. When I'm right, it's as far as most of us ever got, was to conclude that other people were wrong. I can still go to that place. Not often, but when I get there, I'm right. I was telling my friends earlier before the meeting, anger has been the worst of my defects. Drunk or sober, talk like a sailor, you would not recognize me, or perhaps you can imagine. But 4 days ago, I got mad at my husband. I said, I can't believe we effing got over there again. It was not well received. Called my sponsor and I said, I can't believe I said that word again. I think it's been 2 years. The last time was when we were in Moriah. She said, I remember. I thought, good girl, Lynn, when you mess up, you're on the phone with your sponsor. If you're new, 41 years sober, I can still have my moments. I still call my sponsor. I still ask God to remove that because talking with my sponsor does not remove my defect. None of us have that kind of power. I every time ask God to skim some of that off. And instead of being angry every day, every other year or so. Good girl. So, and of course, I had to make my amends. And then hopefully I won't have to admit to you again in a couple of years that, oops, I had an oopsie in there. And so I have to watch my thought. And how does that look like? I call it spiritual judo. Okay. Stop, ask, turn. Stop, ask, turn. As it happened, to pause, to ask God to remove, to turn my thought towards someone that I could help. And if I don't pause, this is where we get in trouble. About 2-3 years ago, I wanted some new closet doors in the master bedroom. And of course, like the third step talks about, first I asked sweetly, oh, honey, it would be so great. It would match the fan, Hawaiian style, be so nice. And the poor man said, who's going to see that? I heard no. I met my husband in 2012 when I lived in Switzerland, and he came here with me. And within 10 minutes, I was telling him to go back to Switzerland. So this is what happened when I go off the mark. And of course, making amends again. And a few months later, I came home and he had surprised me and I had a new closet. But I'll tell you what, I see them every day and it's tainted because I know that I hurt my husband for getting those closet doors. So there is a price to pay when I slipped into selfishness, dishonesty, anger, trying to manipulate. There is a price to pay. So it behooves me to continue to practice patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. Another time when I did really well, I've always had two dogs. When one of them passes away, I get another one. I don't want a house without their noise. I love having dogs in the house. And so the second one dies. And a few weeks later, I'm online looking for a new dog. So my husband passes behind me and he said, what are you doing? I'm looking for our dog. And he said, Lynn, I don't want another dog. Do you know where I could have taken this? How could you? And this is not right. And you know, when you met me that I have to have dogs. And I said, okay. So this was a beautiful pause. This is one of my proudest moments in my marriage. I paused. And 4 or 5 days later, I pass behind him. He's on the computer. He's on the pet finder site. I said, what are you doing there? He said, I'm looking at the dogs. But you said you were not interested. He said, I just wasn't ready. If I have put up a stink like I did with the closet door, I don't know that 4 or 5 days later, he would have been there to look for a dog for me. And so what I have found is by this practice of this 10th step, continue, the word continue is mentioned 4 times in that one paragraph. Continue, continue. That it makes for more generous relationship. When I don't go after you to convince you to do this my way, instead, I'm just having a conversation with you, asking you how you feel about something, if you're interested in something, to give you a space of the pie, a share, so you are being considered. It goes a lot smoother. And it's not easy for me because I have a domineering personality and I can present my case in front of the Supreme Court. I've never been a sweet little mouse and I have spouses who are sweet little mouse. And both of us, we have to come to the middle. They need to learn to speak up and be more honest. And I need to quiet down a little bit and retreat back. So it's amazing how we learn from each other. And sometimes that pause can be a lot longer than just a minute. About, again, 2-3 years later, earlier, my husband, we're having lunch and he said, I think we need to scale down the house. Just one story, we're getting old and we could go out of state. And I have two big tears rolling down. Now, I never use tears to manipulate. I tell my sponsees, wipe away the tears before you make your amends. Otherwise, you're making that about you again, and you're asking him to come and comfort you when you're making amends to have hurt him. So I don't use tears. These were very genuine. My babies, these are my sponsees, moving away from my babies, from my house, from San Diego. I was heartbroken. And I paused on that. And I said, you know what? He said something about having fear of financial insecurity, but to me, it didn't feel realistic. And so I said, I don't want my husband to live in fear of financial insecurity. So if you think we need to scale down, I will go along. Let's explore it. But please write out an inventory on your fear of financial insecurity to make sure it's real. And that's what we did. Over a period of 3-4 days, we got a real estate agent in Austin and looking at homes, and we were ready to buy tickets to fly out there. And meanwhile, he came back with this little search and he said, we don't have to move. It was just a resentment with a fire insurance company, and I was going to give them a hug. There you have it. I'm out of town. And so we didn't have to move. And we have not brought it up again. If I hadn't paused to give my husband the courtesy, the dignity to go look within himself, connecting with his own higher power, talking to, he's in Al-Anon, to his own sponsor, calling the financial advisor so he can come up with his own decision, we might still be talking about moving today if I had said, I don't think so. And so it is so practical, this idea of not reacting because I'm thinking about me, my needs, what I want, and my feelings, and making space for other people. What that 10th step is helping me with also is something like war, what's going on in Europe, in the Middle East, the political climate in the United States, that can easily create resentment and fear. Regardless of where we are on the spectrum, there is no happiness, joy, and freedom in indulging in those topics, in feeling the feelings about my goodness, I can't believe. And so I've used the 10th step as well as the, well, it is prayer and meditation. Instead of my mind going down to the gutter, looking for a victim and a perpetrator and those people, to keep my mind in the world of the spirit, joining with the millions of souls who are praying, meditating extra right now all over the world because of the difficult, scary situations that are going on. Again, I'm not going up to the front, but in my own mind, I can keep peace. There are certain words about what's going on that I never entertain. I don't want names in my mind, he or she. Instead, I would just want to join with you in sending peace, in trusting that my house, 1003 Delius Highway, I am safe and protected on the front line as long as I continue my purpose, which is to be of maximum service. And so right here, right now, today in my house, I am totally unaffected. But I will tell you that normally at this time, I go to a meeting in Ukraine. That's my war effort. We have 4 friends in a small room in Kyiv, and we've been meeting with them every week for 3 years. And they show up, the war is an outside issue, and we read out of AA literature, and it's about gratitude, and they smile and they laugh and they tell us how much we mean to them. That's my war effort. So when I think about Ukraine, I think about my four friends, not about who's doing what to whom. So you can see the discipline that this requires. And if I don't watch news anymore, but I don't want to feel like a turnip that fell off the trucks, I open the drapes once in a while. I close this and right back to being right here, right now in my home, thinking about my sponsees. My husband and I, we share the same values, and we don't even talk about it because it's never joyful. Happy, joyous, and free. This is God's will for us. I have that responsibility. So when I show up at the meeting, I can bring that to the meeting. When my sponsees call me, it's a, well, hello there. Happy, joyous, and free. My responsibility. Something else, too, I want to talk about. I still have about 8.5 minutes. This idea of not suffering for things not happening. Think about that for a minute. Not suffering for things not happening. I'll give you an example. I hardly go on Facebook, but I was there that day scrolling fast because once in a while I see a picture I don't want to see, and it was an abused dog. My friends, I can take that to heart for 2 weeks. If I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, instead of going back to sleep right away, it's that picture of the dog. Oh my goodness, and it was beaten, and it was starved, maybe it was attached. Now, I didn't read the story. I am making a movie off a picture. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute. If the picture was posted on Facebook, it's been rescued. It's gone to the vet. It has an owner now. And that dog is sleeping with its masters like my dogs on my lap in bed, waking me up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and I accommodate. So if I'm going to create a story, why not make it at least positive? These are my choices. But for that, my friend, I have to catch it. That's as soon as it enters, oh, that poor little dog, Lynn, he's home with his master now. Oh, okay, phew. Before it really takes place in my mind and then in my heart. And another example I have for you, I am fairly free of fear today. I hardly feel that, but I had one about being a widow. I have no children. My entire family is in Canada. I've been here for over 40 years, and that's it. My husband dies. According to the statistic, I will be the widow. You see what the story I'm telling you right now? How I justified my fear. And so I was really afraid of that. Who's going to help me with my wheelchair? I'm going to be rocking in a little room somewhere in an assisted living, all alone. And I was going to meetings, and there was Sue. Sue was about 80 years old, married 60, sober 40, and her husband passed away, and she was devastated. But then after 3-4 weeks, Suzanne is telling me they're taking Sue out to lunch tomorrow. And then Deirdre said, oh my goodness, we went with Sue yesterday and for a nice walk. And that gave me a little light, a little change in my BS video I've been making. And then I did a 6-7 step on that. But you see, it has to start with the 10 step. I have to be aware of what I'm telling myself. And so I did a 6-7 step to have God remove my fear of being a widow and the dishonesty, the delusion, because it's not happening, And I ask him for a vision. How would I show up in my life today without my fear of being a widow? And in my meditation, let me tell you what came to mind. I was sitting in a living room. It was my home, and it was small. It looked like a condo, maybe. And I am now a handsome woman. Of course, I don't want to be a handsome woman. My body shape has changed, and I'm glowing. Pinky cheeks, happy. And there are all these young ladies around me, and we're going to a meeting. So this is how my fear was replaced with a happy ending. A broken heart, yes, but no fear of being alone attached to it. And I might go tomorrow. So when I'm talking about not to suffer for things not happening, how many times I get a call from my sponsees, oh, Lynn, you know, next week I'm going to, and I can't believe, honey, it's next week. Is this happening to, but I don't know, Lynn, what I'm going to do that day. I said, my darling, when we do our prayer meditation in the morning, we ask God to show us what our next step is today. So we don't know today what you'll be doing next week. But when you do your prayer and meditation that particular morning, you will have all the information you need, plus God's grace, and you will be able to attend to that. God takes care of all our needs if we stay close to Him and perform His work well. So that stays with us all day, very present. And I will tell you that if I were to skip a couple of weeks, I believe this would start to recede. And my ego would resurface, and there will be many, many shining objects and restlessness, and they shouldn't. And I can't believe he did. And so I want to stay current, to continue. And you know that paragraph in the 10th step, it starts with this thought brings us to step 10. In my interpretation, which thought? Well, just what was written preceding to this. And it is that these promises are fulfilled and they will always materialize if we work for them. Not if I worked for them when I was new. I believe that I cannot be sober today on the meetings I attended last week. And the 10th step I'll do with my sponsor next week if I need to. I stay sober today with the steps that I'm practicing today. Midnight last night, I turned into a pumpkin. Tomorrow, I start again. I know I'm sort of exaggerating. I doubt very much that if I went on my own without the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, without the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, for a couple of years, maybe I'd still be sober. I don't know. But I don't want to risk it. And second, when we start sponsoring, I cannot tell my sponsee to do their morning meditation, practice their 10th step, and call me immediately if I'm not doing it. Because this is not a program of opinions, and this is not a program of telling you what to do. This is a program of sharing with you what I do. And so my sponsors, we're pretty close. They're coming tonight for a potluck. I'm in a fishbowl. I mean, I just don't want to get away with anything. And when I tell them if they're going to a Zoom meeting to show up 10 minutes early, groom, whatever that means to them, and smiling, otherwise they let other people to be responsible for creating the ambiance of a meeting that's attractive to a newcomer. I say, you show up 10 minutes early, bright and happy, and this is your service to Alcoholics Anonymous. They don't have to know, but you know. You know. And we try to do that every day. There we go. My timer just went off. I want to thank you so, so very much for your patience with me. And I'll turn the meeting over to the secretary.
Awesome. Wow.